Good morning. Let us bow our head and ask our Lord's blessing for this morning. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we worship you, we adore you. You are the Almighty God, the God of creation, the compassionate God. You so loved us that you gave us your begotten Son, who came and died for the sins of the world, so that all who believe in Jesus Christ will receive the gift of salvation. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be with each brother and sister this morning. And may your Holy Spirit also touch us. Those who have not trusted in our Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior this morning, that they may believe also. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. So the message that I will be sharing with you today is on prayer. As believers, we speak to God in prayers, and God speaks to us in his words, the Bible. Prayer is talking to God. Believers talk to God through quiet thoughts, spoken words, and anguish cry, as well as joyful praises to the Almighty God. Believers pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. Believers have access to God in prayer through Jesus because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. This division that I will be speaking on will be believers pray to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. He died for the forgiveness of sins for all who believe and trust in him as Lord and Savior. The barrier between the righteous and holy God and mankind due to sins of mankind is removed when Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. 1 John 2:2, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. 2 Corinthians 5:15, he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Propitiation for our sins means atonement for our sins, or reconciliations of God and mankind from the sins of mankind. These two verses clearly state that Jesus' death is sufficient to atone, i.e. pay for, the sins, past, present, and future, for all in the world who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Believers, after professing faith in Jesus Christ, are to live for him and should no longer live for themselves because Jesus died and rose again. Believers are to live a fruitful, purposeful life, a new transformed life led by the Holy Spirit indwelling in each believer. Ephesians 2:8-10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. As believers, we're saved by grace through faith, i.e. believing in Christ Jesus alone, and not by doing good works, We are saved to do good works, but we are not saved by doing good work, but we are saved to do good works afterwards as a response to our gratitude for God's grace for us. In the Old Testament, only the high priest could enter the most holy place, or known as the Holy of the Holies. And this is the most sacred area of the temple once a year. And only after the high priest offered blood for his own sins and the sins of people committed in ignorance, the temple built by King Solomon, the Ark of the Covenant and the Mercy seats were placed in the Holy of the Holies. And this place was the most sacred part of the temple, and symbolizing God's presence among his people, and was separated from the rest of the temple by a thick curtain, a veil, about a handbreadth thick or 4 inches thick. Hebrews 9:7, but into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple separating the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple was torn from top to bottom at the moment of Jesus' death. And we can read that here in Matthew 27:50-51a. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Jesus Christ is our great high priest for those who believe in him. He died on the cross and shed his precious blood as the perfect sinless sacrifice for the sins of all who believe in him. The veil or curtain separating the most holy place from the temple was rent or torn from top to bottom, signifying the barrier separating God and man due to sins was removed when Jesus died on the cross. This is the work of God, because the veil, the thick veil, was torn and rent from top to bottom. The torn veil of the temple when Jesus died also pointed to Jesus' broken body on the cross, with his hands, feet, and side pierced, broken for us. I read from Hebrews 10:19-23. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our faith sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast with the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And in the NIV translation, Hebrews 10:20 reads, by a new living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body. Jesus Christ, our high priest, shed his own blood for us for the forgiveness of sins, so that all who believe in him may receive the gift of everlasting life and have access to God through him, can talk to God through him. In Exodus 12:1-3, I have not put it on the slide here, but if you have a Bible, you can refer to it. We read that the Israelites celebrated the Passover, and the Jews still celebrate that today, remembering that the law God passed over the Israelites in Egypt when the Lord passed through Egypt and struck down every firstborn of both people and animals. But the Lord spared the firstborn of Israelites because they trusted and followed God's instructions, God's words. By smearing the blood of a Passover lamb without defect on the sides and tops of the door frames of their houses. And the Lord God spared their firstborn. As believers in Jesus Christ, Jesus shed his blood on the cross for us. All believers through faith in him receive life, everlasting life. Is conveyed from death to life. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover Lamb. At Christmas, we celebrate and remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came as a real baby boy, born of a woman and a virgin. Jesus came to fulfill God's will, to die on the cross, and to remove the barrier between God and man due to the sins of man. And this is truly grace of God. So the principle here is, when Jesus died on the cross, a barrier between the holy God and mankind due to sin is removed, so that believers can have access to God, talk to God, pray to God through Jesus Christ. And that's why we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe in Jesus Christ who died and shed his precious blood for your sins? Next, I want to talk about corporate and private prayers. The Bible teaches believers to pray corporately, i.e. as a group together, and also to pray privately. I would like to share one account from the New Testament on public or corporate prayer, an account from the Old Testament of private prayer, that God miraculously answered these prayers. The account of the corporate prayer is found in Acts 12, Acts 12, 1-7. If you have a Bible open to that passage, you can follow along. And I will summarize what happened. Because of space on the slides, I have not put it onto the slide. This is an account when Peter was arrested and put into prison by King Herod of the Roman Empire. When Herod saw that the execution of James, the brother of John, pleased the Jews. So Herod put Peter in prison and assigned four soldiers in each squad, to keep Peter in the prison. And Herod intended to bring Peter out for a trial after the Passover the next day. That night, Peter was bound by two chains between two soldiers, and there were guards keeping the prison. Constant prayers by the church, i.e. a group of believers, was offered to God for him. And a miracle happened. An angel came to Peter, and the chains that bound Peter fell off. The angel led Peter out of the prison, passing through the guards. And the iron gate opened by itself. By the way, in those days, you don't have motorized remote control gate openers. And Peter found himself on the street, and the angel departed from him. Then he realized that the Lord has sent the angel to deliver him from the hand of Herod. Peter immediately came to the house of Mary where the group was praying for him. He knocked at the door of the gate. The servant girl named Rhoda, as you would recall, came to answer the door. She recognized Peter's voice, but out of gladness and excitement, she did not open the gate. But she ran in to tell the people that Peter was at the door. The believers did not believe in him, But she insisted that Peter was at the door. So they opened the door and the gate, and Peter was there. They were astonished. They were praying for Peter, and they were astonished seeing Peter at the gate. Perhaps they were praying that Peter would not be executed, but they did not expect Peter to be free by the angel from the prison. God answers prayers in ways that are unexpected. At Heather Bible Chapel, we also gather to pray corporately as a group of believers. Every Wednesday night after Bible study, we have a prayer time that we pray for each other and a request, prayer request shared. And the first Wednesday of each month, we have a dedicated prayer meeting that we have a devotional shared. And this coming month, December, Chi Chan will be sharing a devotional. And we'll be reading summaries of missionary letters, updates from missionary workers, when we share prayer requests, and we'll pray together corporately for each other. I remember what John Wayne shared in the last devotional. He shared that we pray for the missionary workers as partners with them. We're partnering with them because we share their interest. We pray for the missionary workers for the challenges that they face and also for their needs. And we also praise God for his provisions and his providential guidance for the missionary workers as well. Please feel free to share your prayer request with one of the elders or deacons to bring up at one of these meetings to pray for you. The Bible also teaches us to pray privately. And Jesus teaches us to pray earnestly in private and not to be like the hypocrites praying to show off other people. In Matthew 6:6a, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father. And Jesus himself often withdrew to a quiet place, solitary places, to pray. And references here are Matthew 14:13, Luke 5:16, and Mark 1:35. The account of the private prayer that I would like to share with you this morning is in Daniel 6. I know that many of you are studying BSF, and we just studied this prayer of Daniel in our BSF study. And again, I'll be summarizing what happened, and please follow along in your Bible. Daniel was a young man among the Jewish exiles taken to Babylon, and he served the kings of Babylon. Then the Medo-Persian Empire took over Babylon. In Daniel 5:31, the chapter before, we read that Darius the Mede took over the kingdom. In this account, Daniel was one of the three governors or administrators appointed by Darius over his kingdom. In Daniel 6, we read that Daniel continued to pray privately three times a day in his upper room, even after he learned of the decree signed by King Darius, that whoever prayed to any god or man for 30 days other than King Darius would be cast into the den of lions. You see, Daniel was one of the three governors whom King Darius set over the affairs of the kingdom. And God had blessed Daniel, who distinguished himself above all the other governors and satraps. And King Darius was about to promote Daniel to oversee his entire kingdom. So out of envy, the other governors and satraps, they scheme to get rid of Daniel because they did not want Daniel to be promoted above them. They knew that they could not find faults in Daniel other than his faith in God. Therefore, they went together and convinced King Darius to sign the decree that I just mentioned, that anyone would pray to any god or man for 30 days other than Darius would be thrown into the lion's den. Sure enough, they found Daniel praying in his upper room in private, making supplication before God. The Bible does not tell us what Daniel prayed for, but I'm just guessing, this is speculation, okay? Guessing that he would be praying for God's protection, that he would remain faithful to God. And perhaps he would be praying that he would not be thrown into the lion's den. So these wicked men caught Daniel praying to his God in private, in his upper room, not in public, not bothering anyone, and reported this to King Darius. Even King Darius wanted to save Daniel, but could not because the decree that he had signed, because the decree was law. King Darius waited until the sun went down, hoping to find a way to save Daniel from being thrown into the lion's den. But he could not because the decree was law. So the end of the day, he had to order Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. The next morning, that night, the king did not eat or did not sleep and did not have any entertainment because he was grieving. The next morning, he went to the lion's den and cried out to Daniel and asked Daniel in Daniel 6:6b, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lion? Sorry, I think I have the wrong reference here. And in Daniel 6:21-22, Daniel replied to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before God. And also, king, O king, I have done no wrong before you. The king was overjoyed that Daniel was not harmed by the lions and ordered Daniel to be pulled out of the lion's den. And in Daniel 6:24, I read, and the king gave the command, and they brought these men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the dens of lions. Them, their children, and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. The wives and their children of these men who accused Daniel were also thrown into the den of lions. There's often collateral damage due to sins. Sin not only affects oneself, but affects others as well, as in this case. King Darius then wrote another decree that all people in his kingdom were to fear the God of Daniel, the living God who had delivered Daniel from the power of the lions and whose dominion endures forever. And as a result, Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius. This is an amazing account of God answering the private prayer of Daniel. In both accounts, God sent an angel. In Acts 12, God sent an angel to free Peter from the prison, answering the prayers of the church. Although they did not expect him to be freed, they were astonished God answered their prayer unexpectedly, in an unexpected way. In Daniel 6, God sent an angel to protect Daniel from the lions, answering Daniel's prayer. The following verses from the Bible teach us about praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Philippians 4:6 to 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we pray corporately or privately, we are to pray without ceasing and making our request known to God. Be anxious for nothing, giving thanks in all circumstances, and yielding to the will of God, so that we can experience rest and the peace of God, which will guard our hearts and minds as we put our trust in God. After we bring our matters to God, we need to leave the matters with God, trusting in His will on the matters. 1 Peter 4:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. So the principle here is, as believers, we are to pray without ceasing, both corporately and privately, making our request known to God through Jesus Christ, and give thanks in everything. Praying without ceasing is, we can pray anytime, anywhere, even while you are driving, but please don't close your eyes. Model prayer. I'd like to next share about model prayer. We are currently studying the book of Psalms in a Bible study in Heather Bible Chapel here. The book of Psalms contains 150 psalms, and they are considered to be prayers. Almost half of the 150 psalms were attributed to King David as the author. King David is known as a man after God's own heart, and we can learn much from the psalms or prayers written by him. As we study David's prayer in our Bible study, we note that he would cry out to God and ask God to hear his prayers. He would then pour out his troubles from his heart, expressing his anguish. For example, when he was being pursued by Saul, or by even his own son Absalom, or even betrayed by one's close friend and advisor, Ahithophel. But after he brought his distress matters to or situations to God, he would inevitably turn to praising God, expressing his trust in God to deliver him. King David, a man after God's own heart, like us, is not perfect though. In Psalms 32 and 51, King David acknowledged his sins and pleaded for God's mercy and forgiveness. Therefore, it is important for us to confess our sins also, if we are aware of our sins. And not only for our sins, also for the sins of our nation, our governments, as we belong to our nation. And for that matter, for the sins of the mankind. First John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have just finished Psalm 83 in the last Wednesday Bible study. And there are 67 psalms to go yet. So if you are not joining us for Bible study, there are still 67 psalms to study from. So I encourage you to join us in our Bible study. If you cannot join us in person, you can join us via Zoom. Okay, so a Zoom link sent out every week, and there's no excuse for you not to join us. So I hope to see more of you joining us. As mentioned, many of you are attending BSF, and we're currently studying Exile and Return of Israel. And John Sook, the discussion leader of the group that I attend, he shared Acts as the models for our prayers. By the way, Acts is not the book of Acts, okay? The Acts is here is the acronyms of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Adoration A of the Acts is to recall the incredible divine attributes of God and our Redeemer, who He is. C is to, as mentioned, confess and humbly confess our sins if we are aware of our sins. And also confess and ask for forgiveness of the sins of our nations and of mankind as well. T is thanksgiving, to give thanks for God for what He has done for us. And S for supplication, to ask God that provide us with what we need to live a fruitful and flourishing life for Him and for the good of His people. I can actually see Acts in many of the psalms that we have studied, but there is no better model prayer than the model prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He teaches us how to pray in Matthew 6, 9, 13, or Luke 11, 2-4. And I'll read here Matthew 6, 9-13. In this manner, therefore, pray. So Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. I can actually see Acts in this model prayer of our Lord. I see adoration in verse 1, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I see it in verse 13, be yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. I see confessions in verse 12a, asking God to forgive our debts, our sins. I see thanksgiving in verse 10b, your kingdom come and your will be done. I see supplications in verse 10b, on earth as it is in heaven. In verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. And in verse 12, forgive us our debts. And in verse 13a, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus also teaches us in this model prayer to align our human will to God's perfect will in verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And in verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done. God's will is for all mankind to receive the forgiveness of sin and for us to align our will to His will, to forgive debtors or the sins of others against you, and to trust in Him in all things, in all circumstances. His will be done. Also, to me, praising God encompasses adoration and thanksgiving. adoration to me is praising God for who He is and praising Him for His characters and attributes, His omniscience, omnipotent and omnipresent, His loving, patient, merciful, gracious, compassionate, forgiving, and promise-keeping God. Thanksgiving is praising God for what He has done for us, creating us in His image, giving us His begotten Son to die for our sins, and giving us His Holy Spirit to guide, to teach, and to lead us while we're on earth, and His promises that all believers will dwell with Him in heaven, in the presence of God, and in His glory forever. So, the summary or the principle of this division for me is, in prayers, we are to bring our requests to God, to confess our sins, to praise Him, and to trust in His perfect will. So, what does this all mean? It means that believers, we can pray to God through Jesus Christ in His name, because the barrier separating God and man has been broken down when He died on the cross. It means that we are to pray corporately together as a group and also to pray privately. It also means that we should give thanks for Him, praising Him for who He is and for what He has done for us. And it's also important to align our will to His perfect will at the end. The Bible is God's words to us. He speaks to us through the Bible. But through prayers, we also align our will to His will, trusting in His will, and recalling the words from the Bible as we pray as well. Trusting in His perfect will give us rest, will allow us to experience His peace. And God's peace can be with us. And may we be faithful in our prayers, asking for God's what we need. We also need to, as mentioned, confess our sins and giving praises to Him. And if you have not trusted in our Lord Jesus Christ, will you believe in Jesus Christ today? And I will close with reading 2 Corinthians chapter 6 to B. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that as believers we can come to You with our requests in our name, Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ, because our Lord broke down the barrier between the Holy God, You, and mankind. Thank You for giving us the Holy Spirit in each believer to guide us, to teach us, and to lead us while we are on earth. We pray that Your Holy Spirit will touch the hearts of those who have not believed, trusted in our Lord Jesus Christ yet, that they will believe today. May the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to be with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.